The Gestalt Gardener podcast is brought to you by Varicosity Vein Center, providing health assessment screenings and compassionate care to improve your vascular functionality and quality of life. Our doctors and vein specialists offer solutions to painful varicose veins, spider veins, and other venous diseases to our patients. Now offering complimentary vein screenings in Jackson, Madison, and Ridgeland. Information and appointment scheduling at varicosityveincenter.com.
Good morning. Good morning. Ain't it a great morning outside? Well, it's winter time. I keep saying this, but it is winter. And about 4 or 5 months, we're going to wish we had a little cool weather because it could be hot. Anyway, for the next little while, let's don't talk about too much about the weather. Let's certainly don't talk about sports or politics or any of that. Let's just talk gardening. I'm horticulturist Felder Rushing, and here on Mississippi Public Broadcasting, we've got a garden party started, and you can be part of it. It's a live program. You want to give us a call or chat about what's on your gardening mind or going on or not in your garden, worried about what's happened with the freeze, thinking about planting some stuff, or just whatever. We're going to be talking nothing but gardening here on MPB, so sit back. We're going to take a little bit of news and come back and start getting dirty.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast.
Okie dokie, folks. Welcome back. Horticulturist Felder Rushing here. We're going to be talking gardening. Lots of stuff can be done right now. So a lot of stuff should not be done right now. A lot of people are worried about what's going on right now. And we'll talk about that. But I want to remind you, it's a live program. So if you want to call and chat, share some stuff, ask some questions, maybe throw some insight in some things I've said and didn't quite cover it to your satisfaction, bring it on. My ego's not involved in my advice. I don't sell anything, and I'm ready to learn. I like to learn stuff. Matter of fact, I love it when I say something won't work based on my training and university and blah, 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 and then somebody says, well, mama's done it that way forever. I don't mind learning and stuff, and I know that gardening is a slippery slope. It's a big tent, whether you're a horticulture, left brain, yard of the month, flower show, blue ribbon oriented, or just want to knock around and enjoy a few butterflies and something that smells nice and looks nice. Or maybe you don't have a green thumb at all and just want to try growing something that makes you feel connected to the world. Give us a call. It's toll free, 1-877-MPB-RING. Java Chapman is my producer. We're going to be kicking around all sorts of stuff every Friday and Saturday. I want to remind you also that Monday through Friday, we have terrific locally produced program. MPB is one of the only NPR affiliates in the whole country that does this. And it's just something we really enjoy, bringing real stuff from real people to real folks. So anyway, if you want to give me a call, the lines are wide open right now. Love to kick some ideas around with you. In a little while, I've got some cheesy music. It's something I played before, but I think we could really use a break right now because it's just been dreary. It's really, really been dreary. Matter of fact, there's a lot of concern. We had some warm weather, which we often do here in the Deep South and the Lower South and the Gulf Coast South, but sometimes that warm weather in the wintertime makes plants drop their guard. It only takes a couple of weeks for plants to completely lose their winter dormancy and start growing. You know, once we have a cold spell and then it warms up again, they think it's spring. And we've seen that with things like elfin ears and cannas and a few other plants putting out new growth a month or two too early, and it got zapped this past week. A little bit more zapping maybe this weekend. But anyway, not to worry. There's plenty of stuff you can do, a lot of stuff you really shouldn't do. So I'm saying rain, frost and freezes, finally getting some normal winter weather. Sorry about the burnt new foliage of plants that are already thinking it's springtime. My garden gorilla friend, Jesse Lee Yancey, gave me some solid updates on his Jackson garden. Says it did rain a whole lot, and the warm weather got some plants to sprout, but most of it looks okay. Going to be some burnt foliage. He and I agree that it's probably best to wait another month. Let's wait till the middle of February before you prune on plants. Partly because if you prune them now, that can stimulate even earlier new growth. So whether it's roses or figs or cannas or whatever, I would still wait another 2 or 3 weeks at least maybe a month before you do any pruning before springtime. Plenty of other stuff to talk about, but there's no rush to be getting things done right now. Now, because this is a live program, let's slide up to Madison, Mississippi. Hey, John, thank you for calling.
Hey, how are you, Felder?
Fine, thanks. What's up?
You told us last year, or maybe year before last, there was a general rule you said that about keeping chemicals, and that some chemicals like pesticides could go over 1 year, but you need to throw out. I've forgotten what the rule is. Can you remind us all?
Yeah, in general, weed killers don't lose strength. You know, any kind of weed killers, they're not going to lose strength. Fertilizers can get hard or maybe liquidy. You know, they'll change shape or texture, but they're still okay. Fungicides, not that big a deal. But the most important thing are insecticides, whether the chemical or natural. Insecticides, once you open their containers, they start breaking down. It's what they call a half-life. And most insecticides only last for a few months, no more than a few months or a year or so, before, even though they smell strong, that's the petroleum product, they smell strong, but they've lost their effectiveness. So if you've got insecticides left over from last year, I'd go ahead and discard them. But this year, only buy as much as you think that you'll need, even though it might be cheaper to buy a big jug. If you're not going to use it, you're losing money. So I'd get rid of any insecticides, and that's about it.
What about fruit tree sprays?
Insecticides. You know, if it's got insecticides in it, you know, for insects, those things, once you open the container, they start degrading, not immediately. When you mix them with water, they almost immediately start losing strength. Some insecticides, fruit tree sprays, you mix them with water, 2 days later, it's just smelly water. But once you open a container, insecticides generally don't last more than a few months.
Okay, thanks very much.
Okay, hey, appreciate your call, John. Thanks, man. Okay, now let's slide to Mobile, Alabama. Good morning, Sir John.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking the call.
Sure.
I've got a couple of crepe myrtle trees that I planted 10 years ago, sort of as a divide between the neighbors. And I'm trying to train it such that it has more of the tree structure above the ground, that's to say above eye level. So you can look between the trees without seeing the tree structure. At the base of these trees, I get these suckers coming out. I call them suckers.
Yeah.
They're individual shoots.
Yeah.
My question to you is, can I prune those back now, or is there a particular time that I should prune them back, or should I never prune them back?
Well, here's the deal. First of all, people who say you should never prune crepe myrtles are the same people who say I should cut my hair, even though I look like the guy on a $100 bill. It's not their business, and it doesn't hurt the plant. So it's okay to prune a crepe myrtle, just like it's okay to prune a rose, or doesn't hurt the plant. And because crepe myrtles bloom on new growth, if you cut them now, the new growth that comes out this spring will bloom this summer. You could even cut them in the middle of the summer. They still have time to bloom. So about the only time I would not prune shrubs or trees hard, it would be in the fall or early winter. So anytime from here on, they're going to wait till spring to sprout out anyway. And John, keep in mind that wherever you make a cut, whether it's low, middle, high, wherever you make a cut, the new growth comes out right there. So cut them at different heights so that they'll have a layered effect. And then when they sprout out, pop off all but two or three of those sprouts so that they become limbs or branches instead of a witch's broom. And it's okay to pop those off at the trunk if you want to.
Okay, the same question for cedar tree. I planted a couple of cedar trees, and now they're growing pretty well, except that they're growing evenly from top to bottom. Again, I want to be able to see between the trees. I need to thin out. So is it okay to thin that out right now?
Yeah. And, you know, it's weird because you asked the second most important question about this. The only plants you cannot prune hard are conifers, like cedars, junipers, pines, things like that. So if you want to prune them, whatever you cut off, whether it's a branch or limb, cut it off right where it starts to grow. And you can thin out the lower limbs on it. You know, leave a few, cut a few, but cut them right next to the trunk. And then whatever's left, you can cut branches off the limbs that are left. But in the case of junipers and cedars, Don't leave any kind of stubs. Don't try to cut them back like you would a plant because they won't sprout back out. So it's just mostly a matter of thinning out one or two limbs at a time, stepping back from it, seeing it look because you can't put it back on. Thin out some of the lower limbs and then come back and thin some of the branches off the lower limbs that are left. But again, every few minutes, step back and see what you're doing because it's real easy to overdo it, you know, up from up close. But anyway, you can cut crepe myrtles back, but not the cedars.
Is it okay to prune now, this time of year?
Absolutely. No problem at all. But again, as long as you're not leaving any stubs, no problems at all.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. Y'all have a good day.
Okay. Okay. Good luck on it. See ya. I should have mentioned, too, I'm going to be doing a program down in Mobile, but I've got several things coming up in March. I don't have a whole lot going on in February for some reason. I am doing a presentation at Hutto's Garden Center on Saturday, February the 15th. And that's about 3 weeks from now. But it's on home fruit. If you want to put out plants for the landscape that look good and grow well and also produce something that you can eat off of, that'll be a program for you. But again, that's not till February the 15th. The only other thing I've got going on is right now, this weekend, today, Saturday, and Sunday, the orchid growers throughout the Gulf states, I mean from all over, even Louisiana, Texas, are coming to Mississippi. They're going to be duking it out over who has the best exhibit this weekend. Today, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's going to be in Gautier at the Gautier Convention Center down on the Gulf Coast. Anyway, the Gulf Coast Orchid Show and Plant Sale, admission is free, and they have ballots for people to have a People's Choice Award, so you can see which of the overall displays that you think is the best. Also, keep in mind that there'll be people there, they'll have orchids. The ones that are easy to grow, the ones that are a little bit more difficult, they can explain them and answer your questions and maybe give you a little tutorial on growing orchids. Really, really interesting show. A great thing to do on a chilly weekend. And again, that's going to be at the Gautier Convention Center, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the Gulf Coast Orchid Show and Plant Sale. So anyway, if you got some things you'd like to announce, some garden events, shoot me an email, garden@mpbonline.org. Now let's go to, I think it's Bryce from Sumner. Is that right?
Yes, it's Bryce.
And Sumner is in the Delta?
Yes, Mississippi Delta. Yes, sir.
Born and raised there. What's going on?
Hey, so I planted some pawpaw trees a few years ago, and I can't get them to grow an inch. I know I planted them direct sunlight, and they're a shade tree, right? They usually grow on riverbanks. But I want to take fruit.
They start out in shade, but they eventually become shade trees. So the one I was raised with down in Indianola is grown in full sun. My great grandmother planted one before my mother was born, and it was always in full sun. So right at first, it's going to be a little thing. Here's the deal: if you planted them a little too deep or in a really tight hole, then they can't grow the right kind of roots. And above ground is dependent almost entirely on what kind of sideways roots they can grow. So what I would do would be to kind of loosen the dirt up around them a little bit out, maybe 2 or 3 feet, put a ring of mulch, not a fire ant mound, but a ring of mulch around it, and only give them a good soaking when it gets really, really, really dry. In other words, don't keep them wet. And then, you know, once they catch their second wind, they should jump. How long have you had these out there?
I would say, it's almost 5 years.
how big are they now?
I would say they're 3 feet tall.
Oh, there's something seriously wrong. They should have been overhead high after the first couple of years. It's a good chance they might have been planted a little bit deep, Bryce. Also, if you ever hit the trunk with the lawnmower, the string trimmer, you know, that will stun them for the rest of their lives. So check the lower trunk. Make sure it's not damaged. Pull the grass and stuff away from it. And you might, if you might even want to, this time of year, since they're still small, dig them up. Replant them a little bit on the high side and see what happens that way. But if they hadn't been grown in the past couple of 3 years, there's something wrong, and I'm going to suggest that they're planted too deep or got some kind of trunk wound.
Okay, well, thank you so much for your time.
Okay, hey, good luck on it. Good luck on it. All righty, folks, pawpaws, interesting landscape plants. We're going to be taking a little bit of a break, and I want to play a clip from a really unusual interview. I just had the most interesting experience this past weekend. I went to the longest running plant swap in England. It was a terrific experience, and I'm going to run a short interview with the two ladies who organized this plant swap. You got to listen close because they talk kind of funny, but the longest running plant swap in England. And then we're going to take your phone calls here at MPB right after that. Stick with us, folks. We'll be back with an interview for the longest plant swap in England right after this.
Deep South Dining is the show all about the culture of Southern flavor, from fried chicken and collard greens to shrimp and grits and a glass of sweet tea. Subscribe now to the podcast using any podcast app or download our MPB public media app.
All righty, folks, welcome back. Horticulturist Phil DeRush. We're going to run an interview from the ladies who started Plant Swap UK. We'll be right back after this interview with your phone calls.
Okie doke, folks. Like I said, I've got Sarah and Faye from Plant Swap UK. Hey, ladies, how are y'all?
Hi.
Hi, doing really well, thank you.
It's an incredible crowd. It's a cold day. You've got all these people bringing weird plants. What's the point of having a plant swap?
Well, and also, new people don't always have or can't always afford to buy new plants, or sometimes you get a plant and it just doesn't like your house, or you don't like the plant, or it doesn't like you. So coming down to Plant Swap means that you can bring some plants down, share it with other people, and maybe take home a new plant as well.
I mean, you can't do that with kittens or anything.
Oh, yeah, but like kittens, plants have babies, lots of them. So we get a lot of little seedlings and people will take them away.
What made you two get this started?
But it was a thread on Facebook. There was a group of friends and we were all saying, oh, I'd like to have a cutting of this, could I have a cutting of that? And then before we knew it, there was about 20 people joining in, and it was getting mad driving around the city trying to swap plants. So we were like, well, let's all bring us here.
Let's meet at a bar.
Yeah
well, why not?
Do you have different plants during different parts of the year?
Definitely seasonal. Very, yeah. Very seasonal.
Like what?
Vegetables.
Yeah, so lots of baby seedlings. So you've planted too many tomatoes or too many chilies, and then you bring them down, and it means another gardener who wasn't quite on the spot with the planting things out can take them home.
Chitted potatoes as well. So we get all sorts of things.
Chippy potatoes.
Chitted.
Oh, that's right. Look, we call them starts. Little
okay, yeah.
Well, one of the things I've noticed is a lot of different kind of people. Does it look like what I'm going to call the horticultural crowd? Non-joiners, people who don't belong to garden clubs, or they're not botanic garden people.
I would say isn't the horticultural crowd. No. Some people that have been coming to all our swaps, and when they started, and I'm going to include myself in this, when they started, they really didn't know much about plants. And they knew they liked them, but they didn't know how to look after them, or they didn't know which ones were for them. So you come to the plant swap, you get a plant, you try it. If it's not for you, you bring it back to the next one, you try a different one. It's a great way of getting started.
Sort of creates in a strange way, a community.
Yeah, I would completely concur with that. That's good. I'd have never thought to join a garden club.
No,
that would have not been my...
I would be intimidated by a garden club, so...
Well, have you ever had to police any of the plants people bring in? Do you make value calls about what people bring?
We don't make value calls. I did have somebody who had a plant with spider mites that they were asking somebody to look after, and they said, oh, I could bring it down to the swap to swap with you. And I was like, could you not bring that, please?
What about invasive plants?
We've never seen anything.
Not have you had them at the swaps, but on the Facebook group, sometimes people swap Cacosmia, and we've got a really good wildlife gardener who often pops up, and she lets people know that that's going to be horribly invasive. It can get out into the countryside.
But it's a great plant. It's a great plant.
It is a beautiful plant. Yes. Don't get me wrong. I love it. But, in the wrong place.
Well, it looks like you've got a bunch of unusual plants, a bunch of unusual people, and you're mixing them up. What's the takeaway for all this for you?
Just bringing people and plants together. And, you know, if you've got the opportunity to run a plant swap, why don't you give it a try? You can go and have a look on our website, and we've got guidance and advice and tips for how to make it work well.
So, drop us a line.
Yeah, or drop us a line. We're really happy to be contacted as well.
Have you ever had anybody fight over any of the plants that somebody brought?
Only in a very British and super polite way, I think.
Yes, absolutely.
I believe I was in queue for that.
Yes. I saw that first.
Do excuse me if I get there first.
No, everybody's terribly polite.
And lovely and so kind and friendly and welcoming.
I'm glad to be part of First Plant Swap UK of 2020. Thank you so much, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okie dokie, folks. I hope you enjoyed that. There's a little quick interview with Faye and Sarah. They started this group called Plant Swap UK. If you'd like more information on that, just go online and Google Plant Swap UK, and it'll take you right there. Or if you go to my blog, I've just put up a I have on my personal blog, Felder Rushing blog. I've got a thing about plant swaps that includes the famous one in Flora, Mississippi, and a really fun, long-running one down in Mobile, Alabama. But I've got pictures and some information from Faye and Ray's Plant Swap UK on it as well. Anyway, if you want to go to a Felder Rushing blog, and they either type in Plant Swap or scroll down till you get to the Plant Swap thing, it has a whole lot about plants, the types of people swap, what makes them work, and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, if you've got some questions about your garden, give me a call. We've got some cheery music coming up in just a second, but let's talk with Polly from Covington. Hey, Polly, good morning.
Hey, Felder, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. What you got going on?
I have a cutting of a Confederate rose, and it's kind of new. It's only like 8 inches tall. I need to know when I can put it in the ground and what kind of space it needs to go in. I don't have much sun. I have a little sun.
Well, you know, it'll bloom okay in as much sun as you can give it. It'll bloom in full sun better than in full shade, but somewhere in between. Okay. So here's the deal. Down in that part of Louisiana, they can get it in almost like a small tree. They make really big bushes unless you thin it. You know, when you prune it, they're going to sprout out in the spring with a lot of trunks, and you can thin those out to just one or two or three to keep it more compact. And as it gets bigger, that'll keep it, you know, less likely to take up the same space is a Volkswagen on a stick, if you know what I mean. The main thing is put it where you can get as much sun as it can. Try to put it in a wide hole. You know, don't overdo it, but a wide hole is better than a little hole. And then mulch it really well with some tree leaves, not pine straw, but tree leaves or bark. And again, in the spring, summer, early summer, thin out all but whatever grows the direction you want. In other words, you can prune it to be direct, you know, whatever shape you want, instead of letting it be just a great big old bush.
Right. And when, how big should it be before I put it in the ground?
I guess the answer would be springtime, however big it is. You know, I always root some. I got some cuttings that are really pretty with this past fall over in Meridian, Mississippi, and I've got them rooting in water. And they're probably only going to be 3 or 4 inches taller than what I prune. Anyway, prune them back. When you set them out, if they got a bunch of real leggy stuff on them, go ahead and cut that back. They'll sprout back out and be a lot more durable and compact. Don't leave them all leggy when you put them out. So anyway, just wait till it warms up in the spring.
Will do. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Okay. Enjoy it. Thank you so much.
Bye.
All righty. Okay. Thank you. And now let's go to, I think, Madison. John, are you there?
Felder, I'm here. Good morning.
Howdy, howdy. What's going on?
Well, it's a beautiful day here in paradise. Let me ask you this. Talk about propagation. The young lady just called about a cutting. My daddy had a green thumb. He could stick a corn cob in the ground and grow a field of corn out of it. So, I had a cousin out here in Clinton that used to take blackberry and graft them onto all various things. But the reality is, what I'd love to see, and I don't know if you got one coming up, is a talk or at least some conversation on doing some grafting and, seizing the moment when it comes to some of these plants that, that you want to make hardier. I mean, I've heard crazy things, but putting them on Bodock and different tree stubs.
I certainly could. Not that many. I know I've got some really good friends who graft. I've grafted before, and it's interesting and fun. It's not hard to do, but the instructions sound tricky when you're just listening to them instead of looking at pictures and all. I've got a really good friend named Tom Mann who's over in Clinton. He grafts all sorts of stuff all the time. And I might get him to come on there. I will mention this, though. You can only graft things that are really close related. You know, apples and pears will graft, but peaches and pears won't. Blackberries are in the rose family, so you might be able to do some of that. But, you know, you can only graft usually within the same species, sometimes just the same genus, but really close related stuff. But I'll see if I can get Tom Mann to talk about it. I will mention this. If you want to do some grafting, this is the time of year to get the graft wood, the stuff you're going to graft, put it in a plastic bag in the refrigerator to keep it cool and dormant. And then let's wait till after the sap starts rising, when the stuff you're going to graft it onto sprouts out, and that's when you pull it out of the refrigerator and do your grafting. So you collect your graft wood this time of year, but you graft in the spring when the sap starts to rise.
One last question. We talked about the pawpaw. What trees will grow with the feet wet? And I'll leave it at that. You know, just areas of the yard or places where you got, you know, not really standing moisture all the time, but it's going to stay pretty damp year round.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I got an email just the other day. I answered it the day before yesterday, and I sent them a list of commonly grown plants that you see in places low and wet in the, you know, part of the year and then turn dry. You know, what we call rain garden type stuff. Wet part of the year, dry part of the year. Pawpaws are in there, but we also have several really good native plants. Mayhaw comes to mind. Mayhaw is in the crabapple family, and it grows right around ponds. Matter of fact, sometimes the little crabapples, mayhaw fruits, are actually floating on the water. So that's another good one. But there's not a whole lot of other fruits that'll take wet feet part of the year.
Thank you, bro.
Anyway, if you want to get – yeah, John, if you want to get a little bit more into that, shoot me an email, because I can scratch my head a whole lot better that way. Anyway, appreciate it.
Thank you for your show, and look forward to it every Friday. Thank you, brother.
Okay, thanks, John. All righty, folks, we've got the lines wide open, but, you know, with the weird weather and the politics and the news and all like that, I thought it'd be nice to play something kind of cheerful. We always do a cheesy tune, and mostly just to break things up, to sort of etch a sketch upside down and reset a little bit, but we could take a little bit of a break to hear some cheesy music, and I've got the lines wide open, so if you'd like to give me a call. Give me a call. It's toll-free, 1-877-MPB-RING, and we'll talk about your garden right after that. Anyway, sit back. Me and Java and all the other folks at MPB, we're going to take a little cheerful break and be right back with more of the Gestalt Gardener right here in MPB right after this.
This is Malcolm White with the Mississippi Arts Commission. I'm one of the hosts of the Mississippi Arts Hour, the arts interview show on Think Radio. Every week, myself or one of my fellow hosts bring you in-depth interviews with different creative Mississippians. We talk with visual artists, musicians, writers, as well as people who help bring the arts to their communities. We hear about how each artist learned their craft and get some insight into their creative process. You can hear the Arts Hour every Sunday at 5 p.m. on Think Radio, or listen anytime by subscribing to the show through your favorite podcast app.
Got
Okie dokie, folks. Welcome back. Horticulture's Phil Rushing, zippity-doo-dah. Hey, I forgot to mention that this weekend is Chinese New Year. Saturday is the beginning of the Chinese New Year. So a happy New Year. I was in Manchester, England, a couple of 3 years ago for their big Chinese celebration where they had the parades and shooting off the fireworks and all like that. But anyway, it's kind of nice having two New Year celebrations almost back-to-back. Hey, if there's some things you'd like to chat about, give me a call. We've got the lines wide open, toll-free 1-877-MPB-RING. We'd like to remind folks that if you want a little bit more information on the plant swap, whether it's in the UK, they've got a really fun website, Plant Swap UK. Or if you'd like to find out about the one in Mobile and the one in Flora, Mississippi, I've got pictures and information about all of them on my blog, Felder Rushing Blog. Not my website, but Felder Rushing Blog. Either type in Plant Swap in the little search thing or scroll down a little bit, and you'll see pictures of some really, really fun stuff. Now let's go to Livingston and talk with Grace. Hey, Grace, how are you this morning?
I'm good, thank you.
Sure, what's up?
Well, we have a vegetable garden every year, and it just is overrun with weeds every year. And I wondered if there's something we could do now to prevent that problem this spring when we plant.
Well, yes and no. There's several different approaches. One thing that I try to recommend against is using weed killers. There are some you can use. They're fairly effective. They're not that expensive, but they're a little tricky to use because you got to put them down at the right time. A lot of trouble. It takes a little bit of science, but there are some herbicides. If you want a little bit more information about that, I can get more detail in an email. But in general, if you can go ahead when you get a chance to row your garden up, and then mulch it, just cover it with leaves or bark or any newspaper, cardboard boxes, anything to keep the sun off the dirt. That'll keep the seeds from sprouting from a lot of them. Other than that, really about the only thing you could do is mulch. You know, when you plant, either, like I said, you could cut cardboard and put it over your rows in between plants, make collars around your tomato, individual things, but there's not much more effective than mulch. And I'm afraid to say that, you know, part of growing vegetables includes weeding. And one of the most effective things, and nobody wants to hear this, Grace, is a sharp hoe. I don't mean a chopping type thing. If you get a hoe and a flat-bladed file and sharpen the blade, all you have to do is just lay it on and just scrape the weeds like shaving. Instead of chopping, if you'll just scrape it across here, a sharp hoe goes really, really fast. But if you chop it, all that does is bring up more weed seeds. So other than mulching, using a sharp hoe, possibly using some weed killers, this is just part of gardening. I hate to say it. The one other thing you might want to do there, a lot of the weeds are perennials. They're going to come back from pieces of root or stem or whatever. You might want to row your garden up, get ready to plant, let them sprout, and then spray those. There are a couple of herbicides that are safe to spray, and then plant, you know, without having to re-till the soil. But there's no effective way to keep perennials weeds from coming back from pieces of stem or root or whatever, other than chopping or spraying. That's about it.
Thank you.
Sorry. Really sorry. Hey, if you come up with something better than that, please let me know, because I want to know.
Okay, thank you.
Good luck. Okay, 1-877-MPB-RING. Let's go to Florence. Hey, Roger. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, sir. Thank you for your program.
Sure.
I'm a loyal listener. I succumbed to the temptation of buying some plants that were all rolled up in front of a local grocery store. And I purchased 7, I think it was, a couple of blueberries, a couple of plums, a couple of, I think, apples, stuff like that. And I began to plant them, and I got my grandson, and we dug one hole. It got dark on us, but we got one in the ground well, and it was a big, wide hole, just deep enough for the bottom roots, and I spread the roots out and got the what little there was in the bag, and then added a compost pile, dirt and dirt from the hole, mixed it in.
Right.
I think I did so far, so good. Yeah, you. But I want you to repeat your instructions because that's a little brief. But I think I did it right. I got one of them in, got dark on it. So I got six more. I had to bring them in because we're going to have those hard freezes in the last few days. And so I brought them in the house. I got them all together. I'm going to go out today and try to plant some more. But they've begun to sprout. I mean, they're sprouting. They're putting out little buds and leaves and stuff, some of them. So I don't know what I've done wrong. I guess I fooled them into thinking it's springtime, but it's only springtime inside the house.
That's right. Well, you know, once these kind of plants, once they go through a cold spell and then they warm back up, it doesn't matter what time of year, they're going to sprout back out. Anyway, it's not that big a deal because you can prune these plants a month or two. How tall are these fruit trees about?
Well, most of them are 2 to 3 feet. They're tall, scrawny ones are maybe 4 feet, that type of size.
Yeah. Well, the blueberries are different. Blueberries are the bushes. By the way, when you plant the blueberries, loosen the roots up and go to a garden center, get a bag of what I call real peat moss. You know, not compost, not manure, but real peat moss. And because it lasts a long time and it makes that acidic soil that blueberries and azaleas like. So add some real peat moss to your native dirt for your blueberries and then mulch them real good with a bunch of leaves. You know, get the boy to go out and get some sacks of leaves to put around them and just make them think that they're bushes in the yard. But as far as the fruit trees, it's okay for them to sprout back out. A lot of them have been doing that in people's yards and some of them get frozen back, but they'll still sprout back out in the springtime. So what you might want to do is go ahead and set them out sometime in the middle of next month, cut them all back, the fruit trees and all. If you can see where they're grafted, you know, between the root and the top, there should be a little grafted area. As long as you leave a foot or so above that, then you can prune them and they'll sprout back or real close to the ground and be a lot sturdier down the road. But anyway, I would leave them outside unless it's going to get down below about 25 because these plants can take freezing. They just can't take hard freezes while they're out of the ground. So I'd put them outside. You can also take your finger and pop off some of those sprouts and just see what happens a month or so from now. But I wouldn't worry about them sprouting about now. Just cut them back. Thin them out sometime in the springtime, see what makes it, and only leave 2 or 3 branches on each one.
Well, that's encouraging. Thank you very much. Keep up the good
work. Good. I appreciate it. Hey, you're raising a boy right.
Well, he knows how to dig a hole now.
Well, that's a start. Anyway, get him to go find you some leaves to put around them, bags of regular old leaves to put around them. That'll keep them busy, and it'll connect them with some dirt, too. Appreciate it, man.
Thank you very much.
All righty. And, folks, if you're interested in home fruits, things that do well in the landscape that are reasonably productive, it's not just the type of fruit, but more important, the variety, because not all varieties of peaches or plums or apples or pears will do well in the South. Some do okay on the coast, but not up in Memphis. Some will do in Memphis and not on the coast. So you need to know not just the type of fruit, but the variety. And I've got a list of that. If you'd like to shoot me an email, garden@mpbonline.org, I've got a list, a little bit of description on the different kind of fruits, how to plant them, how to prune them. A real simple little thing. I just attach it to email and shoot it right back. Or see if you can come to the workshop that I have every year at Hutto's Garden Center in Jackson. It's going to be on Saturday, February the 15th. It starts at 9 o'clock. Let's go up to Corinth now. Hey, John, good morning, sir.
Well, good morning, Felder. How are you doing?
So far, so not so bad.
Well, listen, I'm a longtime listener, first-time caller. To comment on your interview with the two English ladies, I spent quite a bit of time in England, and they told me I sounded like Forrest Gump, and I told them they sounded like Monty Python, you know. So,
as long as we understand each other, right?
Oh, yeah. I told them I'm American by birth and Southerner by the grace of God, you know. So
there you go. By the way, I was telling somebody when you plant gourd seeds, you're supposed to dog cuss them, and they didn't know what dog cussing was mean. And turned out what we call dog cussing, they call a right good bollocking.
Yeah, right.
Well, what's going on? Well,
Felder, my question is, and I hope it doesn't come across as being too macabre. I had a long time a dog that was a long time companion to me, and she passed at the 1st of January. And I was wanting to plant a dogwood tree in the vicinity of her burial site, and I was wondering if her remains, her carcass, would be a detriment or a conducive to the dogwood tree growth, and also what kind of fertilizer do you use for trees for new tree growth?
Yeah, these are good questions. And to answer your question, no, the remains are fine. Matter of fact, my old dog, my old Rusty, he was my sweetheart for 14 years. I buried him last year, and I planted a rose right on top of it. So, you know, it's okay. Perfectly okay. So that's not a problem. Here's the problem, though. Dogwoods, of all the dogwoods planted in Mississippi, Tennessee, Louisiana, Arkansas, all of them, only about two of them are going to live to be 5 years old. One out of every two. They have really low survival rates unless, here's the big deal, get you a small dogwood tree, dig a wide hole, and get this. Find you a dogwood that's growing somewhere around you. You know, you can wait till spring if you want to, but find a really nice dogwood and dig up some of the shallow dirt, the top 2 or 3 or 4 inches under a good dogwood, and mix some of that with your dogwood soil, because dogwoods have this stuff called mycorrhizae. It's like a fungus that helps them grow better, and you don't get it in potting soil. So mix some real dogwood dirt in with your dirt and set a small tree out, and it has a whole lot better chance than a bigger one. And last thing I can think of is put you a bunch of leaves around the roots, you know, a nice little wide ear, maybe 3 or 4 feet across. That way the roots will think it's out in the woods. Dogwoods naturally don't grow out in the sun, but if you can get them big enough to shade their roots, they'll do fine. And you can shade it with mulch. So add some dogwood dirt to your dirt, plant a small one, and then mulch it really, really good. And then every time that thing blooms, you can think of your puppy.
Well, thank you. That is wonderful advice. Matter of fact, I have a lady that lives about a quarter mile from me that has a beautiful dogwood out the front tree. Well, sometimes I get dogwoods and barley pears confused because I'm going down the road and they seem to both bloom around the same time of year. So,
dogwoods and what was the other one? Dogwoods and what?
Barley pear trees.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's real easy. The pears are going to be sort of a teardrop shape. You know, they'll be pointed at the top, around at the bottom. Dogwoods are, you know, it's like you stick your arms out and just wave around. Dogwoods are sprangly-looking things. You're never going to see a dogwood growing naturally along a fence row. They're always going to be in the shade on a slope because that's where they live naturally. So if it's out in the open, if it's a dogwood, it's because somebody cut the other trees down. But in general, the pears are going to be real thick and full, lots of flowers. Dogwoods are going to be kind of airy looking.
Right. Okay. Well, thanks. What is the difficulty of growing a weeping willow? We had one in our front yard in Memphis. I've seen them in Tennessee, but I haven't seen any here in North Mississippi.
Weeping willows have got a real shallow root system and they like moisture, but they don't want to have wet feet. Where you see weeping willows doing well, they're on the slope. If they're along the edge of a lake or a pond, they're always on a hillside, you know, hanging over. So what they don't like is to stay really wet part of the year and then really dry part of the year. They like it somewhere, you know, moderate, not too wet in the winter, not too dry in the summer. And if you've got pretty good dirt, it's nice and deep, stays kind of moist down deep, you can grow a willow. Otherwise, they're just going to get about yay high and then just start falling apart. That's what happens. It's a root problem is what I'm saying.
Well, thank you so much, Felder. I'm going to call my local nursery here and see what the availability of both of those are and if I need to order them or what I need to do. But like I said, I'm a longtime listener, and I love your show, and you just have a great day, and I'll continue listening. Thank you.
Wait. Before you go, I want to answer real quick. You're going to get you another dog.
Oh, man, I've got two more dogs, so they're kind of, you know, but I had her for over 10 years, and she's traveled all over, you know, the United States. I don't know. It's just I want to epitomize her, and I'm going to get a little headstone, which I've done for several of my animals.
There you go. Well, hugs to everybody. Appreciate your call, man. Thank you. Whew. We're going to take a break, folks. We've got a couple of callers on the line, but I'm horticulturist Phil DeRussia here at Mississippi Public Broadcasting. We'll, real quick break. We'll come back with more of your phone calls right here on MPB.
Contractor ever tell you of the price of something and it sounds so high you think, maybe I'll try it myself. Some jobs just aren't that difficult, and yes, you can do it. If you want to find out how to do those things, listen to Fix It 101, podcast everywhere.
All righty, folks, welcome back to Horticulture's Phil DeRussia. I want to remind you that the Orchid Growers, the Gulf Coast Orchid Show and Plant Sales, going to be this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the Gaucher Convention Center. Tell them I said hey, and let them help you pick out an orchid that's easy to grow. There are some. Again, if you have some things you'd like to announce or have some questions or want to share some things, shoot me an email, garden@mpbonline.org. And if you'd like more information about plant swaps, go to Phil DeRussia's blog and either type in plant swap or scroll down and take it from there. Meanwhile, let's go down to Mobile, Alabama. Hey, Melanie, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you very much.
Sure.
I have an announcement, though. I forgot. I should have called you last week. But, you know, Sims, Alabama?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's the Camellia Festival, the Sims Camellia Festival, is tomorrow.
Okay. I wish I had known about that. I've been pushing it beforehand.
Yeah, I didn't think about it. I'm not personally involved, but I've gone to it, and it's very interesting, and they usually have a program. One year they had the guy who grows the tea, Elber in Baldwin County, and I don't know what program this year. But anyway, that's not what I called about in the most famous words of people who call talk shows.
What's up?
So you were talking about weeds a while ago, and I just wanted to say we've had a lot of rain down in Mobile County, and I was out one day this week before it, you know, got totally freezing, and pulling the Jap grass in my flower beds, well, Congan grass, whatever the name of it is, but
yeah,
you know what I mean.
Right.
The most invasive thing that ever, but anyway, it actually came out better than I have ever tried to pull it. Right now, if you've got that in your flower beds, now is the time. You won't get it all, of course. It's impossible to get it all. But
yeah,
at least we can maybe set it back and give the stuff a chance to get a head start in the spring before it comes back full force, because it is, you know. But it just, I was amazed and pleased, you know, that it came out so well. And I was like, wow, this is really, because usually pulling that grass is like, you know, it just breaks off and all you get is the top. And but I was getting actual big chunks of root, so. That was a plus.
I've got several different perennial weeds, spreading type of weeds in my yard, blackberries and ground ivy, creeping jenny. And what I do is I go out in the wintertime or the spring when the ground is moist and pull up as much as I can and just basically live with it till next year. It's a really good idea, Melanie.
I don't know any other way to deal with it because there's just, you know.
No.
I've not ever sprayed it with anything that I could tell did much good. So, you know,
well, there is a spray that'll kill only grasses, nothing else. But
yeah,
we don't need to get into that right now.
But jab grass is just.
I know. I know.
You know, it shoots those roots out 100 yards. It seems like. And have you ever tried to pull any of it?
Yeah.
It's incredible stuff because if there's a bigger root within 100 yards of it, it will go underneath that root.
I'm not one of these experts who make stuff up. I actually go, if you look at my fingernails and my scratched up arms, I know there's no problem anybody has ever had that I don't deal with it myself. But anyway, it's a good tip. Well, you know, while the ground is moist, you can get a lot more pull.
Yeah.
Anyway, appreciate that. And thanks for sharing about the Camellia Show down in Sims, too.
All righty. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. Woo. Now let's slide up to Madison, Mississippi. Hey, Teresa, or Madison County, Madison, the county. How are you, Teresa?
I'm fine. How are you?
So far, so good. What's up?
Okay. Two questions. And basically, I just like to hear your opinion or reference books that we can look at. One is I usually drive to work around this time of day. And as the spring comes along, there's lots of different flowers, especially flowering trees and bushes along the road. And yeah. I wonder if there's any reference to what we see, you know, to kind of naming those or identifying them, or else identifying things that to look for as the year progresses.
Yeah, it's a good question. As a matter of fact, there is a website I use, but first of all, I have an app on my phone, and if you could take a good close-up picture of some flowers and leaves, there are apps that you just click on it, upload that picture, and it tells you what it is. I mean, okay. So there's several good apps like that, and I use those a lot when I'm out walking. But there's a really good site for our native plants called southeasternflora.com. It's actually done by a fella in Jackson, and okay. It's got listed by tree, shrub, vine, whatever, by right. color of flower, and you just look at the pictures until you find the one you want. But it's southeasternflora.com, done by a fella in Jackson.
Okay, well, thank you. And the other quick question is about weeds, too. But, you know, weeds can tell you a lot about your soil. So is there any reference for, you know, looking at a weed and, you know, kind of figuring out, well, this soil is too acid for this?
It's a really good question, but there's too many variables for that. Just way too many variables.
Well, you know, people, there's lots of folklore about it. I just want
But there's so much that it's hard to get it down to an area of the country. So, and it's a really good idea, but in general, and I know a few, but there's no reference that I know of. Sorry.
Okay. All right. Well, that's fine. Thank you.
Shoot me an email if you need to take a picture and send it to me, and I'll see if I can find out what those plants are. Appreciate your call, too.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay, Doug, folks. Tom, I'm sorry. Down in Blue Springs, we ran out of time. We're at the end of our program. And if you have some questions during the week, shoot me an email, garden@mpbonline.org. Check out some of the stuff at my Felder Rushing blog. But it's time to call in the morning. The Stalk Garden is a production of Mississippi Public Broadcasting. Me and Java Chapman and all the other folks at MPB, glad to be here with you every week. Happy to answer emails during the week, but I'll be back with you live next week to talk about your garden. Remember, sharpen your rough edges. Be the best version of your old weird self. If you have a chance, take a kid to a garden center and help them buy something to put in the dirt. Show them how to do what we do best, folks, and that's get dirty. See y'all next week.